Last week, we studied about the invasion of Judah, and we're going to study about the actual battle this week, the preliminaries, what comes up before, and what's actually going to happen. Anyway, we're going to start in verse, well, let's read a couple of verses of last week's. Verse 12 and 13. We'll back up to 12 and 13. Now, they were being invaded by the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which is what we would call Arabs nowadays. Anyway, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So, they were, they didn't know what to do. It says right there, you know, we don't know what to do. Look at, we don't have any power against this multitude, this great company that's coming against us. But they did know what to do. The last part of verse 12 says, but our eyes are upon thee. The Lord is our deliverance. If you're in a hard place, the Lord is your deliverance. And he always will be. Now, he might not deliver you the way that you want, but he will deliver you if you're one of his children. Sometimes he delivers us by taking us home. And think about how glorious that is. You know, once we're home, nobody can touch us. All pain, all fear, all anxiety, it's all gone. It's all over with. Just think, one of these days, we're going to be in eternity with our Lord and Savior. Anyway, verse 14, after they had given this prayer, this was a long prayer from Jehoshaphat to the Lord. In verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, sorry about that, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now, the Lord's going to speak to the people. Now, it's important how things happen. God has a plan. God has a perfect plan. God has set up rules. He has set up regulations, so to speak, for us to follow. We're to do what the Bible says for us to do. And so, here's Jehaziel. He is a Levite. And it goes back through his whole generation. And it says he was a Levite. And upon him came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So the Lord was going to talk to the people of Judah through this man, this Levite. Now it's important to understand God is particular about how things is. He could have picked anybody if he wanted to, but he spoke to the children of Israel through Levites. And many people nowadays, you know, well, you know, however I want to serve the Lord, I'll do it my way. And it counts for nothing. And actually counts for less than nothing. You're doing something to please yourself rather than to please the Lord. So it will be held against you. Anyway, you need to study God's word and find out how he would have you to do something. Anyway, Jehaziel has been touched by the Spirit. You notice that's a capital S on Spirit. Now, this is the Spirit of God, and he's in the midst of the congregation, so he was pretty much surrounded by the people. Verse 15, and he said, hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. So he's speaking even to the king here. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So that really right there should have been the end of their suffering, end of their problems, end of their sweating, so to speak. Be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. You know, you're worried about it. He said, hey, the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, you remember Jehoshaphat did some things he wasn't supposed to do. He made a pact with Ahab and went up to try to take Ramoth Gilead. And they got in a fight. Of course, Ahab got killed. And when Jehoshaphat came home, he was told by the prophet that he did something wrong. You know, he made a pact with the ungodly and those that were not his friends. So anyway, I think probably this battle that they're going to fight, just the coming of it, not the actual battle, but the coming of this was part of his punishment for that. Because the battle itself is not going to be any punishment at all. And we'll get to that. But it says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, in our lives, in this day and time, we think we have a lot of battles, and in some cases we actually do. But in most cases, the battle is God. He is the one that gives us the power to overcome. And he is the one that we need to look to. As in verse 12 at the end there, but our eyes are upon thee. We should always look to God. We should always try to find out what he would have us to do. And in this case, he's getting ready to tell him. Verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Well, he just said that the battle was God's. Go ye down against them. Behold, they come out by the cliff of Ziz. Now, I passed out some little maps. Now, the cliff of Ziz is, if you look where the Dead Sea is, it's about halfway down from the top or halfway up from the bottom. It's on the left-hand side of the Dead Sea. There's a little dent there where a river comes in. And that's where Ziz is. And it's in a place where they wouldn't have thought them to be coming in. And so they didn't have, we talked about it last week, they didn't have any fortresses there or any place like that. You know, all theirs was up against Israel. Because that's where most of their trouble had come from. But anyway, look about halfway down. On the left-hand side of the Dead Sea, or west coast of the Dead Sea, we'll put it that way. Go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now, Jeruel is straight in from that just a little bit. You know, that's not where they're going to come to. They're actual, going to be headed to Jerusalem. They're going to come in from the back door, so to speak. They're going to try to surprise them. Little do they know that the Lord already knows about all this. And you shall find them at the end of the brook. That's the river. That's where that little dent is there in this map. Now, it's not in all maps that I've looked at. I've looked at a lot of maps to try to find one that was good enough to use in the Sunday school lesson here about the division of the country. But anyway, verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. set yourselves. In other words, get prepared. You'll set yourself like you're going to battle. You know, you set up your ranks and everything. You get prepared. Make it look like you're going to go fight. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this little phrase right here is used more than once in the Bible. Verse 17, Exodus 14. We all know about this one. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. If I can get there. Okay. Now, this is after the children of Israel they left Egypt, and they were up against the water on one side, and Pharaoh's armies were on the other. And what does the Lord say? Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still," that same words. Same word, stand still. You don't have to do anything. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you, to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So the Lord is going to do the fighting. And again, in this case here too, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Lord is going to do the fighting here. Tells him, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. In other words, he's telling them again, go out just like you're going to fight. Just like you're going to have a great battle, and there is going to be a great battle, but it's not going to be fought by you. It's going to be fought by the Lord. Just as the Lord took care of the Egyptians, he's going to take care of Ammon and Moab and the others. Anyway, verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, they believed him. They believed what he said. How many times are we promised in the Bible that, about the blessings? We have some precious promises that the Lord has given us. And I think sometimes we think, well, I'd sure like to see some proof of this. And really, if you've been saved for any length of time, you have probably seen proof of it many times in your life. These promises are a sure thing. I know right now I have a bad back and I have a bad heart, and some people say I have a bad head, but you know, that's beside the point. But when I get to heaven, when I get to be with my Savior, I'm going to have a perfect body. I'm going to have a glorified body. And if you want to find out about a glorified body, we're not going to turn there. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. I think it is. That sound right to you? Okay. Well, let's do. Let's turn there. Because it's I think it actually starts with verse 28. We all know Romans 8:28, but it goes on beyond that. Romans 8, chapter 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say, then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now I want you to notice verse 30, especially, that's one we were talking about. This is first part. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Now this is a special call. This is the effectual call. Now say, I was called, and whom he called, them he also justified. I have been justified. I'm not perfect, but I'm justified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now you notice this statement is past tense. Them he also glorified. Now I'm not in my glorified body yet. I think you can probably see that. But it's just as sure as it's already happened. Them he also glorified. So my glorified body is just as sure as if I already had it. Anyway, we need to believe God. We need to believe what he tells us. His promises are sure. Ours sometimes not so much. But Jehoshaphat the king, he bowed his head with his face to the ground. Now he was humbled by this. And rightly so. We should always be humbled by the Lord, because what can we compare the Lord to? Who? Unfortunately, some people compare themselves to God. But most of them are dead in the ground. And they will be in another place shortly. And not only him, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. We need to worship the Lord. We come to church to worship the Lord. This is where you come to worship the Lord. People say, well, I can worship just as well out in the forest, you know, and by the stream. And no, you can't. That's not scriptural. Find me one place in the Bible where it says it's just as good to be out in the woods or whatever, wherever you think you can be. Bible says to him be glory in the churches. And this is where you need to be. This is where you glorify God. We are to worship God in everything that we do. And many times we don't seek what the Lord's will is. We make up our minds and then we try to adjust what the Lord says to agree with what we've already decided. Anyway, all of them, all the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem, they fell down to the ground, just like Jehoshaphat, and they worshiped the Lord. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice if our country, just one time, we all bowed before the Lord, every last one of us with our face to the ground, and worshiped the Lord. Verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now, they were singing songs. Now, Kohath was a son of Levi in his lineage. And I'm not going to turn there because I'm taking a little bit longer than I thought it was, but the verse to turn to is Numbers 16 and verse 1. Numbers 16 verse 1. You can look it up yourself. You need to have a pencil or an ink pen when we're studying here so you can write these things down. Numbers 16 and verse 1. And Korah is the grandson of Kohath. And he is in Numbers 16, verse 16. Now, they stood to praise God with a loud voice on high. They were singing songs of praise. And it seems like a lot of times lately here, you know, we don't put as much emphasis on songs of praise, or singing songs to the Lord. And it's important. It's important. We're instructed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And this is what they were doing with a loud voice on high. And again, I want you to notice, you know, what my belief is on the separation of Judah and Israel. You notice here, the last part of the verse says, Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So it's talking about the whole country, the whole nation, not just the kingdoms. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning, they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. Now, Tekoa is northwest of Ziz, where that little dent thing is on the Dead Sea. If you go kind of up at a, well, sharp angle up towards the north, they go to Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." So he's encouraging the people. Now here he was, you know, you remember the prayer. We just read part of it. And, you know, we don't know what to do. We don't have any power against these people. And now the Lord has assured him they're going to have victory, and they're not even going to have to fight for it. And he has believed God like we should. And he says, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established." You'll be able to stand. If you believe God is going to deliver on the precious promises he's given us, we're going to be able to stand. Now, many people are shy or backwards, and I'm probably one of them. But some people, they don't witness to people. They don't talk to people about the Lord because of that. The Lord has given you promises. If you're one of his children, you have promises. And you have the victory in all things. Now, if you talk to somebody and it seems to have no effect, what does the Bible say to do? You know, you're to kick the dust off your feet and go to somebody else. But it doesn't say you're to quit. We're not to quit, ever. As long as we have life, as long as there's breath in our bodies, we need to be working for the Lord. But so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Now, we don't have prophets nowadays. We have the writings of the prophets in the Bible. We have preachers. Now, I'm not going to say believe the preachers, because a preacher is man. And men are subject to mistakes. I have made a few, I've been told. So don't put any confidence in what I say. Read the book. That's where the answers are. You ever go take a test and you don't know what in the world is going to happen, you know? Hey, we got the answer book right here. So, you know, we're going to ace this test anyway. He says, so shall you prosper. Things are going to go well. And I believe he is as sure of that as any man can be now, because the Lord has told him so. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, you notice it doesn't say that he appointed preachers or anything like that. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm the psalm leader. I'm saying this because that's what it says in the scripture here. It says, he appointed singers unto the Lord. So they're going to battle where they're not going to fight. And they know they're going to win. And they've just been told all this. And he appoints singers to sing songs of praise to God. He appoints the singers unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, his mercy was on Judah. His mercy was not on those invaders. God has mercy on whom he will. Now, Brother McCool was at our house last night, by Connie's house, and I asked him to read Daniel chapter 4, and I can't remember the verses now. Don't you hate that when that happened? Just gone. Anyway, it was a portion of scripture that deals with the sovereignty of God. God is all powerful. He deals in the armies of heaven and in the affairs of men as he pleases. Anyway, his mercy endureth forever on Judah in this instant. Now, as it relates to us, his mercy endureth forever to his children. Anyway, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So, he set ambushments. It didn't say Judah set ambushments. Jehoshaphat never done nothing. He just appointed singers. And when they started singing, then the Lord, our Heavenly Father, he set the ambushments. And they were smitten. And boy, how they were smitten. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. Now here they are, they're turning against their buddies, so to speak. Their allies. And I don't know if I've ever heard of anything like this in any other instance, you know, where, you know, people go to battle and they got this guy and this guy and this guy and they're up on the fight and all of a sudden these two decide to go and whip this guy instead of going to fight. And they'd just been ambushed. So they were smitten. I don't know whether it looked like the Arabs of Mount Seir had done something that they thought, well, that's the reason we're being smitten, so we're going to get them. But it goes on farther than that. Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. In other words, they turned on each other, too. So there was only one side of the fight, and they were fighting each other. And the children of God, the children of Judah, were all standing there singing songs of praise, worshiping the Lord, and standing there like they were ready to go to battle, and they were watching them. I think they watched it. Can you imagine what they must have thought about that? Lord promised them too. He promised them, you know, the battle's mine, not yours. And he's delivering on that promise, just as he will deliver on the promises he's made to us. Verse 24, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. So they killed each other to the last man. None escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance of both riches, with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Now, we're not going to go any farther than that today, but this is kind of another thing to show that this was in God's plan. You don't take your riches, you don't take your jewels to battle. That's dumb. You leave them at home where they're going to be safe. And in this case, they brought their riches, they brought their jewels, all their precious stuff. And after they fought and killed each other off, then the children of Judah took the plunder, so to speak. God fought the battle, and he blessed Judah even in that. Gave him all these riches. So anyway, next week, we'll start with verse 26. And everybody stay tuned, or tune back in, because Brother McCool is going to be preaching a wonderful message this morning.